What up, everybody? This is Walker, the Walker and Wallace podcast, you know, where we talk everything sports, games, movies, TVs, you know, pretty much anything and everything. You know, I don't got no professional background in podcasts, so give me a break. This is my first time. You know, be easy. But, you know, my background, you know, in sports, you know, I played soccer, baseball. You know, I wish I could play football. My parents are too afraid. But, you know, I'm a fandom of Bay Area teams. I've lived in Bay Area my whole life. You know, a diehard Raider fan, season ticket holder myself. A's fan, Warriors fan through all the sadness and all the glory. Also a Sharks fan. I guess the only team I don't like that's in the Bay is my college team. My family's from Alabama, you know, so roll tide. I want to say thank you to everybody listening to our podcast, giving a chance. I'm gonna let Wallace take it from here.
What's up, everybody? This is Wallace. I'm a Sacramento proud native, root for the Kings, always have, always will. Sacramento proud, representing. Let's see. I also root for the A's. I also root for the Oakland Raiders. I used to play baseball, soccer, no football. A couple other sports. I used to do fencing for a fun fact, stuff like that. So, you know, like Walker said, we are no professionals here. We are just getting started. We're hoping that you guys have a great time listening to this podcast. We'd like to give a shout out to everyone who's supporting us doing this podcast, because it's hard to break in this business, let's be honest. And we just, you know, we want you guys to have fun. This is a forum for you guys to talk, express yourself. Like Walker said, you know, we're going to talk about everything from sports, movies, games, TV shows. It's going to be awesome, and I hope you all are along for the ride. So let's get this thing started. So what do you think about that Westbrook Westbrook trade?
Number one, I think it's crazy. It's crazy how the NBA does all this stuff behind the scenes. You know, I think it was a formality, Westbrook getting out of OKC. But for him to go to Houston, you know, to reunite with Harden, I think that's really understated. You know, I think they already had a pretty good dynamic when they were, even with Kevin Durant, when they were in OKC, the three of them. So I think now that Harden got his respect as a feature player in Houston for a few years and not Westbrook's lackey, I actually think it's really good. I think the crazy thing is the dynamic in the West.
Oof, man, the West. That's tough, man. I mean, I think Russell Westbrook made a smart decision. He went back to what he knew. I mean, he didn't know Paul George that well. And, Paul George and Kawhi together, that's going to be a powerhouse in the West also. Same with LeBron and AD. Now add Cousins into that mix. I mean, this Western Conference is just completely stacked. I mean, I do feel bad for the Eastern Conference, because it doesn't feel like anybody in that conference. You could be a below 41 team and get into the playoffs on that one. So, it's just crazy. What about Chris Paul? What's his future?
Retirement. You know, sadly, the point guard is, you know, he's done well. You know, I'm not going to shy around it. You know, he was good in L.A. You know, he gets to Houston, tries to take that next step. You know, everybody's title hunt nowadays, so there's no shame in that. But you got to look at what it is. I think he's older. I don't think a team is going to take as many risks trying to build a team around him, so he's got to go to a veteran team.
Now, we're hearing reports that Miami might be a possibility if Oklahoma can kind of facilitate some type of trade. They have a stockpile of draft picks. You know, I mean, if you look at it, they can ship them out, no problem. It's just, what are they going to get back in return?
Well, I think the thing about Miami, like other states, you know, you got to be aware of, they don't have sales tax. So if you're going to take a veteran minimum or any kind of a pay cut, you're going to get all that cash guaranteed, you know, on your contract. So what you, or not, maybe not guaranteed, but you're going to get a lot of that cash in your pocket. So what I look at is, you got Butler, you know, there's a chance that D-Wade might come out of retirement. Yep. We heard D. Wade said, "Don't take my number, don't take my locker." So that kind of flirts with me that he might be coming back.
Borderline now,
so you get Chris Paul. They were already right. They were a game or two, I believe, last year out of not making the playoffs. I think that looks better. I think if I'm Chris Paul, I might go to the East because, you know, the East is the least weaker conference. Yep. I mean, you got Toronto losing Kawhi. I'm still kind of nervous about that.
100-1 odds now to win the championship. How a season changes. I mean, that is just incredible. So I think, you know, Chris Paul's destination might be unknown right now, and that's kind of unfortunate. Chris Paul is a great, great player. Don't take anything from him. I really think that he is kind of past his prime, yeah. But, you know, looking at this Eastern Conference, who do you think is the favorite out of that Eastern Conference now?
You know, for me, I still like Boston. You know, I think Boston was close last year. I know that they, on paper, they might look more like an underdog compared to, like, let's say, Philadelphia. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm looking at the coach. I'm looking at the drama that's leaving the team right now. They're going to be a little younger. They're going to be trying to do something a little bit more steady. I think when we talk about Philadelphia, yes, they got good players.
They added Hal Horford.
But can they all play?
That's, you know,
one,
the question.
The one thing we've noticed in the league the last few years is there is a lot of mirroring. You know, after the Golden State Warriors, you know, got Kevin Durant, everybody said, well, you know, everybody just needs to take pay cuts and get veterans together, you know, because that's how you're going to get titles. Well, you know, wake up, guys. Let's be real.
Look at all these guys opting out now. They're trying to get their money.
I don't think you're going to get dynamic teams by doing that. You still have to develop your team. And, you know, the one thing that the Warriors never, in my opinion, get that much credit for?
Homegrown talent.
Thank you. Next to Kevin Durant, we'll say Andre Iguodala and we'll say Sean Livingston, you know, when they first came. You know what? They're all their own players, you know, and they've let their players walk. But let's look at somebody like Harrison Barnes. When Harrison Barnes left, he was not the same player. He's doing, you know, he's on his way back with Sacramento now, you know.
Sacramento represent? I mean...
I think the one thing I look at is no matter what sport we're talking about, you have to have your homegrown talent, and you have to trust the system.
I will give you that too, because you know I think the Kings took a play out of the Warriors playbook, and they're besides Buddy Hield, they've got Bogdan Bogdanovic, they've got Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles, they've got De'Aaron Fox. They're doing a really good job. They could be a sneaky team in the West this year, also. So it's all about that talent, also. For my pick of the East, I'm going to go with, I think, Philadelphia also. Talent-wise, you know, Tobias Harris comes back. You add Al Horford. You have Joel Embiid. Yes, you do lose Jimmy Butler. You lost J.J. Redick. But you know what? I still think they're the powerhouse.
You know, one team we're not talking about right here is Milwaukee.
Okay, so the reason I'm not talking about Milwaukee, yes, they have Antetokounmpo, but the Greek freak, I just don't know.
Didn't they just get Andre Iguodala?
I don't know who.
I think they got Andre also.
I have to check into that fact. I don't have that information.
Anyway, I still think that, you know,
if they do end up, yes.
You know, I think they got size. You know, and I think we got to remember, Toronto and Milwaukee came down to like a last game, you know, so
it's true.
It really could have went both ways.
It's true. It is. I mean, if they can add some nice, decent players to that roster, I think Milwaukee's another person that can come in and contend. Like I said, that East is so weak right now. I don't know who else would be in a top three, to be honest, of that. I mean, Toronto went down now. The Heat might have went up. Orlando still, you know, puddling around about that 500 range, maybe below. Who else you got in that car? In that Charlotte, they just lost Kemba Walker. Boston's still there. I think they're the number three also.
Washington,
they have John Wall. He's coming off an injury, Achilles injury, which, you know, as well as I do, that, you know, look at DeMarcus Cousins. He's never the same player, but even though they've added, I mean, he swears he's 100%, but we're going to have to see how all this mixed together. It's been a crazy, crazy offseason. I've never seen something like this.
Excuse me, it wasn't Iguodala to Milwaukee. It was the Mavericks.
The Mavericks. Oh, wow. Okay. So. That's and there's another team that could be with Porzingis.
You know, the Grizzlies were there too.
Luka Doncic, and you add Iguodala now. I mean, it's going to be a fun offseason, a fun season to watch. We're going to have to see what happens. One name you're going to have to watch out for at the trade deadline, Marc Gasol of the Raptors owed $23 million. You think someone bites at that contract for help if they're contending?
I don't know. You know, there's the dynamic in the league right now has changed. You know, it's hard to hold a veteran for a long time and not get what you want. And even these young players are like we see here now are holding those teams almost hostage for contracts. And you know, they're getting moved. You know, we look at Stephen Curry on the Warriors. He's one of the last 10-year players that that was drafted on one team and has been there. Will he stay? Time to be determined. But you know.
Yeah. Well, when we get back, we're going to talk some NFL. We're going to talk about the Melvin Gordon situation. We're going to see if he is actually holding out like some of these other NBA players might be for bigger money. But we'll do that when we get back. Continue to listen.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Walker and Wallace podcast. Thanks everybody for listening. It's that time. You know, I really would like to talk some Oakland Raiders, football.
Let's do it.
You know, where do we start? I mean, we could talk stadium, we could talk history, we could talk like, you know, this is what I want to get into. Like, before we get into current, you know, everything, because we are talking off season, I want to hear a story, you know, give me something Raiders, you know, why are you a Raider fan?
I'm a Raiders fan because I grew up basically not watching football at all. And when the Raiders got Jerry Rice, I started watching football because Jerry Rice was a mentionable name, you know. He was someone who had, you know, been in San Francisco. So, you know, obviously Jerry Rice carries a lot of weight, so... You know, he was there.
The GOAT, man.
Yeah, GOAT. I mean, and to be honest, I think that him and Tim Brown really made me fans because they were there at the exact same time. Rich Gannon was a, you know, kind of reminds
me. Rich Gannon, Charlie Garner.
Reminds me of
Crockett, Wheatley. You know,
And Derek Carr kind of reminds me of Rich Gannon. And I hope that it for better for him because, you know, we're not going to talk about how we got screwed from you know, Patriots there on that
snowy tuck game.
Tuck game. Yeah, so we'll not. I think that team was tough to beat. Oakland Raiders
that rule
team
don't exist anymore.
So. And it's a shame because, you know, I really want to see this team go far.
I think we'll be there. You know, I think I think just down the road, I think we'll be there. And I think the league might not see it coming. And I think that's what's going to be nice.
I think the league right now is very in a very interesting place where you got Starford, you know, look at Melvin Gordon right now holding out. Le'Veon Bell held out last year. You've got people holding out for more money. And I want to bring to a point why I think that is also because that's a real problem. If you got people holding out, there might be strikes. There might be people, you know. And the players only have themselves to blame if they hold out, but they should be rightfully paid. Because look at it this way. The NBA players are getting paid so much money nowadays. And the NFL is looking at this like, oh, well, you guys are getting millions more than I am right now. Guaranteed millions. And I'm putting my body on the line for 16 games. But guess what? They're talking about going to an 18-game season now.
Well, I think they're going to do that by eliminating the preseason, maybe giving the maybe giving the coaches more practice time. But, I mean, you know, I think that's going to happen with the next holdout because I think that's happening.
That's and the CBA's got to change and everything like that. So we're in a very interesting time where we're seeing star players actually hold out basically for more money. And you know what? Can you blame them?
Well, I don't know, man. But let's get back to our topic, you know, the Oakland Raiders. You know, for me, I live and die, man, silver and black. I've been a Raider fan as long as I remember. You know, I'm one of those millennials that grew up in the Bay where they weren't here when I was born, you know. They were in L.A.
L.A., yep.
So when they came back, 95, my dad got season tickets. And it was honestly, it was badass. And I remember I didn't get to go to every game or whatever, but, you know, his homies would always have an extra ticket here or there. So I would just go to the tailgate off Bart. Yep. And, you know, some days I'd hitch a ride home on Bart. Some days they'd be like, here's a ticket. You know, so I could go to anything. But, you know, one of my biggest highlights that I remember as a kid was the championship game we played the Titans. And I remember being in the parking lot and Metallica played for free, you know, for all the fans. And, you know, that was kick ass. And then there's also a Sony semi truck that was all PlayStation Madden games. So you can go in there and play Madden. But, you know, I was supposed to go home that day, and one of my dad's buddies, you know, he had an extra ticket in last minute, and he handed it to me. So I was able to get in the game. And, you know, my favorite highlight of that whole game was just remembering the roar of the stadium and, you know, everybody stomping, and it's like rocking like an earthquake, man. And, you know, to this day when I walk into that, you know, what people kind of say, that hole in the ground, to me, it brings me, you know, such raw emotion. You know, that's why I'm proud today to be, you know, a season ticket holder, you know, myself.
Yeah, and, there you go.
You know, I'm hoping maybe one day to go to Vegas, you know, with the team. Maybe not be a season ticket holder, but go to maybe a game or two because, you know, that's my team.
So speaking of Vegas, I mean, do you think that the fans will, I mean, like yourself, longtime fan, season ticket holder, you're going to actually... You know, like you said, you're going to hopefully go to Vegas. Do you think a lot of fans will actually be able to go and afford those games? I mean...
Well, you know, what are we talking? Are we talking season ticket holders? Or are we talking just going to one game here or there?
I mean, Vegas gets a lot of foot traffic, so that's where I'm kind of like, all right, so I can see it succeeding. I just feel like that, you know...
Well, I think we already saw one of the back-end deals of this. The Raiders going to Vegas is the possibility of the hotels having special contracts, right? So, like, certain fans, if they're going to just fly into there, they might be able to say, hey, I can go to the game and get a I don't know what hotel, casino it is, but, you know, you go to the game, you can go to a certain casino also for a discounted rate or something, you know what I mean? And that might be a buy-in for a lot of people.
I think it would be, because, I mean, if I was a season ticket holder, which I'm not, I mean, you live closer than I do. I live in Sacramento, you live in the Bay, so, yeah. I mean... Basically, I would be willing to do that because I would... But do you think they should include, like, a whole package for, like, six games or your whole season when you buy season tickets, like, for airplane and travel and hotel?
Well, I know that they do offer... Well, if you buy season tickets, you can buy different bundle packs sometimes.
Okay.
You know, where you can get three games or, you know, half the season or, you know, different things. But, you know, as far as included in airfare and stuff, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of combination of that.
So now, I know we've talked about Vegas now. Let's talk about Oakland. Are they getting screwed out of this deal?
Are they getting jobbed?
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate.
Are they getting Bret Hart?
It's unfortunate. He ain't going to get left in the ring, man. I think what happened is they got kind of lied to by Mark Davis, but, you know... at the end of the day, Mark Davis wanted to get out. He's been wanting to get out since 99 when he got that website.
Yep.
You know, so look it up, guys.
Mark Davis bought
the website address for Las Vegas Raiders back in 1999. So I think the writing's been on the wall. I don't care. Honestly, at the end of the day, like I said, they weren't here when I was born. If they're not here when I die, I'm still going to be a fan.
I mean, I like I said, I want to see one championship with this team, and the way they're constructed right now. Let's talk about the current roster. I mean, I think that's building out pretty nicely. You got Derek Carr, AB, You've also got what Arden Key, who's coming off a rookie.
He put on some weight.
Put on some weight.
You know,
they've,
I think
they
be
actually
better.
Got Josh Jacobs, correct?
Yeah, running back.
Yeah, running back.
Possible rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year. So there's a lot of young talent on this team, and I would be
very gonna be on Hard Knocks this year.
Hard Knocks.
We got a lot to talk about. You know, I think as far as their current status. One thing that I want to get into really quick is Derek Carr. You know, really quickly, I really love the quarterback. I think he's does a good job with the team. I definitely think that he did better when he had Crabtree as his receiver because he's a little more flamboyant. You know, he had no issues with the added drama. And I think having Antonio Brown is like the same kind of, you know, attitude, but this is a better player. You know, this player can get actually, you know, get down the field.
Catch the ball.
Well, yeah.
I agree.
And I thought Amari Cooper could do that, but, you know, the thing about Amari is he didn't have that kind of, like, oomph when he needed it, you know. And a few times when he presented that, he got caught off guard and knocked out, you know, so.
Yeah, and, I mean, Amari Cooper, granted, he did a lot for this team, but I don't think it was the right piece for Derek Carr, unfortunately, and we all probably miss, you know.
I think it was a nice attempt because you're trying to get the young receiver with the young quarterback at the same time.
And I think that I think we'll get there now that we got AB. I don't know who are the other receivers.
Well, we got Tyrell Williams.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yes, we did.
The Chargers.
Yes,
and
we
signed
him.
You know, I think that's a good thing because it gives us a competitive advantage over one of our rivals in division.
Yeah.
And you know I think they're one of those teams that if they just go ahead and they the Chargers, that is, if they're losing their pieces, you got to think Rivers has only got a few years left.
And we signed Vontaze Burfict, very hardworking defensive player right now.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Walker, the Walker and Wallace podcast. You know, it's that time. I want to talk something fun, man. Something that I think a lot of people like to do. Video games.
Let's talk video games, man. What is your favorite all-time video game, actually?
Man, what are we talking? You know, for me, I think playability is a huge thing, right? I got to be able to play it multiple times. You know, maybe go back to it a bunch of times. Man, that's a hard question. Ocarina of Time, you know, probably my number one all time.
All right. Let's see, I've been playing video. I mean, I'm more into the sports video games, so it's always like Madden, 2K. I actually liked NBA Live before 2000. I think it was 2010, 2009, whatever it was, when they were really big. Splinter Cell. That's a good one right there.
I used to play the original Ghost Recons, you know.
Call of Duties.
Halo. You know, I think for me, I like all genres of video games. But I like those RPGs. Those are what's up, man.
I remember my
cousin got me introduced to Final Fantasy, you know, real young, man. And
been
so
around forever, man.
It put me on one of those, like, oh, there's a lot of shit to do in this game, you know, but it's real cool, you know. Hence, like right now, man, I play all consoles, you know. I got the Switch, I got the PlayStation 4, I got the Xbox One, you know. So I try to do everything. Believe it or not, you'd think I'd be on one of those big boy consoles, man. But I'm hooked on The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, man. You know, that game's fun, man. It's immense. I saw, you know, fun fact, I saw a note the other day that said there's more mileage to walk around in that game than there is in Skyrim, man.
And that's kind of interesting because Skyrim is my probably all-time favorite game. Big fan since, what was it, Oblivion? I mean,
You know what? I was playing Morrowind.
I really wish they'd bring that one back.
Well, I mean, they have an expansion for the online Elder Scrolls.
And the So there's the thing about the online Elder Scrolls. I'm not a big fan of the, you know, the environment that it creates.
The mining and crafting. And raiding. The WoW factor. The WoW
factor.
World of Warcraft. You know, here's my thing is, I think at the end of the day, if the game has a good storyline, I'll play it.
You know?
And I think with, when we talk about, you know, when we talk a lot about these newer games, a lot of them time it's a real short storyline, and then it's all online play.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all stat crushing and, you know, leveraging for who's got the best what. And I'm not a fan of that. That's not the kind of gaming I like to do. But, you know, to each their own. I play sports games too, you know, like yourself. I think for me, I grew up playing baseball games. You know, I remember on the Super Nintendo, I had a baseball game called Extra Innings.
Oh, I remember Extra Innings. NBA Jam.
I think everybody jammed on NBA Jam, man.
And when they brought it back, they
He's on fire!
Yeah, He's on Fire is right, and that game was amazing. On fire, definitely. Yeah. It's kind of crazy how we went to a 12-bit?
Oh
to
yeah,
a 24 to a 36 to a now you're getting good quality. They're talking about 8K gaming systems now, where Xbox is coming out with two new consoles.
I don't see. I think the 8K and all that, you know? The ultra high definition or HDR, it's all nice, man. If you have the right system for it, but a lot of the time, you know, and I learned this in electronics when I was younger. If you don't have all the right components at all the right ends, you're paying too much money for that stuff, man, because you're not going to be able to get what you actually want or think you should have, you know what I mean? It's just not cool. So I think at the end of the day, when we're talking the Xbox and the PlayStation and how they, you know, the battle, who's got the better console, you know, who's winning the war, you know, it depends on what kind of game you're talking about.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
And I think Microsoft has a problem right now with getting exclusive games, where PlayStation, you know, look at the show. The show is exclusively for PlayStation. Last of Us, exclusively for PlayStation. You have a lot of exclusive games that only come out in PlayStation, and I think that's where Microsoft really, really lags. If they can do a better job at getting independent gaming people, or even big-name gaming people, to come together and create something for them, they would be better off, I think.
I honestly think what the future holds, and I think it'll happen sooner than later, is cross-play video gaming.
And that's what I'm waiting for, too.
Which is one really, hopefully, best of both worlds. Whatever controller feels better in your hand, whatever system you prefer, whatever, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Everybody's, you know, all these companies will still make their money. It just might be that you like the Sony interface better than the Xbox. Or you might like the simplicity, you know. We're really talking Apple to Android, I see it, you know.
It's just amazing where gaming has come and gone, and you're right. It's all about what you prefer and what you want, and, you know, I kind of prefer PlayStation to Xbox right now, and I was a long time, you know, Xbox player. So, to make the switch, it was easy. Same controls. You just got to learn A, B, you know, it's all the same, basically. Yeah.
No, and, you know, for me, it's just muscle memory.
Yeah.
Because they literally... I remember playing Grand Theft Auto for the first time on Xbox, and I had played it on PlayStation my whole, you know, my every game.
PC here.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I played all the ones that I remember on PlayStation 2, you know, original, and I loved them. So when I played them on Xbox for the first time, it was like I didn't even think about the buttons because I just knew, you know, where they were. Like, oh, this is going to be hit, this is going to be jump, this is going to be run, you know, that kind of thing. And at the end of the day, at one point I liked the Xbox controller better, but, you know, nowadays with mods and emulators and stuff, you can make the, like, you know, I use my Elite controller on a PS4, spoiler alert, but, you know, it works fine, and it's comfortable. You know, and that's the one thing I think the Xbox has over the PlayStation, you know, and that's fine. But, you know, I've played PlayStation more longer than I played Xbox. My first experience with PlayStation, I was Twisted Metal.
Yep, Twisted Metal,
on the original PlayStation. Yes. And, you know, it was the original flat screen, you know, so, graphics and, yep. You know, choppy, but I loved it.
So is it where, let's say it this way, I love Twisted Metal. I actually used to be a PlayStation owner before Xbox came out because they came out with Halo. Halo was symbolic, I guess, to Xbox, and it still is. But are we getting to the time where it might not be anymore?
Well, you know, I think with Halo, there's a long, long list of fans have been watching that franchise for a long time, right? And there's a storyline there. And it's like what I was talking about with those RPG things, man. If you have a storyline, you can connect to an audience for a long period of time. And with the right storyline, you can win an audience over, or you can kill them, you know? And I think what you need to do is monitor both ways. You kind of got to dabble a little bit with fate and say, Master Chief is going to die. Or, you know, Cortana is never going to be the same. Or, you know, this is that, you know, that kind of thing. And we've seen Halo take some chances, you know, ODST, you know, Halo Wars.
Yep.
And, you know, for the loyalists, it's fun, man, just to get another perspective. You know, and I like that. But for the risk takers out there, I understand some fans were upset when they did some stuff. You know, and some people would say it's overexposure. You know, they're just flooding the gaming industry with all these extra games. But, you know, at the end of the day, I remember just old school Halo 2, playing midship, you know, like online.
Should they start
Slayer?
Slayer. Should they start bringing back some of the originals and remastering them or trying to make sequels to them?
Well, they just did remaster them with the Master Chief Collection. So, what do you mean by that?
Probably more technically, like let's talk Call of Duty for a second.
Oh, we're flipping games. Okay.
Let's go. Sorry to do that in mid. You know. But I'm trying to go in a, you know, like, let's talk about some different franchises that are the same way almost.
Okay.
Because do you ever feel like playing Call of Duty is like the same game?
It's weird, you know, because with Call of Duty, I remember playing 1 and 2 when you're just playing the early wars. You know, World War 1, World War 2 and stuff, you know.
That's what same here.
They were fun to play, and what was cool is, you know, those were very mission-based. You couldn't go off of the map and go scavenge or anything. You had to go through the alley, around the corner, directly to your next, you know, mission. You know what I mean? It was very pinpoint. And I think the games now are getting a little bit more open map. You know, they're getting a little bit more spacey. And that's fine, but, you know, it's just a different game. You're kind of changing the name of the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you, in my opinion, if you want to go out of the box of what the game originally was, then you need to go with a whole new name. You know what I mean? Yeah. And not necessarily like Ghost Recon, you know, Modern Warfare.
Or Ghost Recon, you know, or, you know. 865 or, you know, something.
Yeah. Some weird stuff, you know, because obviously Call of Duty, Modern Warfare. But I'm just saying, like, you can't mimic other games. You know, you can't just take other names. It's got to be just a flat-out new game. And I think when I see a new game like Watch Dogs came out, right?
Yep.
That was a cool little perspective. Something different.
Something different.
Mirror's Edge. You know, when you're just free-running.
Yep.
Some things like that, to me, they're just nice. Yep. Because
it's simple.
The orange box. When that bundle came out, you know, and when you can play Portal, it was Portal or Half-Life.
Half-Life. Loved Half-Life.
Dude, they were fun. I remember playing the original Half-Life
on a computer.
At a buddy's house on my computer.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about the game until playing it, and we were doing a sleepover. You know, I was middle school or something like that, right? And he's playing Half-Life, and, you know, we're all running around, and I had no idea what was going on. and the turkey dude jumped at us. And I was like, dude, did he just eat that dude's head? Crazy.
Oh, that's crazy. But,
you know, for me, you know, we talk about it, any other game you want to talk about, man. You're talking franchises. You know, we've talked some good ones. Fallout's a good franchise, right?
Fallout's a great franchise. Far Cry is a great franchise.
You know, I think Far Cry's had moments.
They've had moments. I guess I'll take that back. They're not great. I think they're on the verge of being something if they can come up with something that is out of the box.
They're kind of, I think what's different is they're not worried about scaring the audience.
Yeah.
You know, they definitely...
Resident Evil?
Yeah.
I mean, look at them.
Resident Evil's had hit or misses also, but you know, I've played them since the Nintendo's, you know,
yep.
GameCubes and everything.
I mean,
so they're one of those ones I do like.
Let's switch up systems here. Let's go with Nintendo Switch. I mean, that hasn't been out for too long.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some Nintendo. I mean, some of the great games ever have come out in Nintendo. Mario Kart.
Well, let me, before we talk games, let me talk the console.
Okay.
Let me talk console. You know, I know that they're coming out with that little light version. I still think this is the better version. You know, detachable faceplate. Often, you know, I find myself, I don't even need the side pieces because I use the wireless, GameCube controller. What I think the Nintendo Switch has over any other console, and it's the best feature in my opinion, is the fact that they're the little tiny cartridges.
Yep.
I mean, it brings it back to the old days when we had the, you know, the blowing cartridges on the Super Nintendo or the NES. But, you know, I think for me, I played a Zelda game, man. And
yes.
It's like a, you know, watercolor paint kind of
graphic. It's subtle. It's very nice, though.
Nice is the, if you're playing for the graphics, I understand you're not going to get the full thing like the PS4 Pro or the
But if you're just playing for subtleness and trying to, you know, do something like that, it's perfect.
It's perfect. And, you know, often with what you're playing on Nintendo are Mario games.
Yes.
Bright, colorful, what I would call eye candy games.
Yeah.
The console presents 4K graphics. It's just cartoons.
And
it's not realism.
No.
And, you know, I've played 2K basketball on the PlayStation. I played it on the Xbox, and I played it on the Switch. And you know what? The gameplay is very similar on every console. There's a little bit more lag on the Nintendo than the other two. That's expected, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's expected, I believe,
Or not lag, response time.
Response time,
and,
We're not trying to knock a Nintendo.
Not at all. I actually found that the portability is why I like playing 2K basketball on the Switch more than anything else. The only thing is you can't do some My Player Mode views. It's a little different.
Yeah.
But it's just an angle thing. But, you know, I think it's got an upper hand. You know, I think with them releasing another console, it's just saying, hey, man, spend more money on us.
And that's kind of a worrisome. I read a report. I know this is coming into some politics right here. So
should we not talk about
this? No, it's fine. Because of the Chinese the tariffs that they have done with the wars and stuff like that with Donald Trump, they're expecting a 20% increase in consoles. Actually, making the consoles, if they were $500, do you know what 20% of 500 is? It's probably about, like, I would say about almost $700 for a console. And the average family can't afford to spend $700 to $600 on a console.
Well, all those people that were promised with the Xbox that they'll never have to buy another console again must be pretty upset.
Yep, same here. I am, because guess what? I was promised the same thing. And I'm not... Listen, let's get this straight. This is our own opinions. We're not trying to knock on anybody here. We're not trying to,
Our own opinions? This is your opinion.
This is my opinion.
Yeah, I remember I don't really have an opinion about the Xbox. I don't rock the One X. I just have an Xbox One.
I play both of them, but I do have a problem with Microsoft saying, hey, this is the last Xbox that you'll ever have to buy. I bought this Project Scorpion console, and they were promised that
This is the last console you ever have to buy. You'll be able to mod this console. You'll be able to do anything you want with this console. It will have 4K graphics. It will have 6 terabytes to support virtual reality. I was let down because nothing happened, ever. And it's a problem because now they're telling... If you go back and watch Phil Spencer's actual, like, when he released the Project Scorpion, or Scorpio, or whatever it's called, he says the exact same thing at the end. This will be the last console you'll ever have to buy, future of gaming, everything like that, and...
Good speech.
Good speech, yeah, it's a great speech, and I'm not falling for it this time, let's put it that way.
False promises.
Yep.
All right, man, well, we got to call it, man, but thanks, everybody, for listening. Remember, hit us up, Walker and Wallace Podcast. We talk anything, man.
Anything and everything, man. All right, peace out. Take it easy.